destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, and welcome to the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. I apologize for not sending out an email blast today. A lot of people called into the station and wondering, you know, if the show was going to go on tonight. But rest assured, if I wasn't going to be here, I would have sent out that blast. But either way, I'm glad to be here and glad that you guys are paying attention. So here we go. Today, this is our New Year's Eve show. So, you know, we're going to have a little fun here tonight, hopefully. Today is December 29th. In 2 days, it'll be the 31st, and that is the Joker Day. The Joker, the one day of the year that we cannot read for. Can't read for Jokers. Now, there are those people out there who do cards. There are a few who come up with some ways to read the Joker. They just couldn't accept the fact that there was a one birthday of the year which could not be read. And, in fact, I've actually read for Jokers myself. I've read astrology, and you can do astrology for Jokers. You just can't do any card work. And they've come up with some theories about how to get yearly spreads for Jokers and so forth and so on, which I just don't think it's necessary. I think it's okay. It's okay with me that one card in the deck can be any card they want to be and that we don't really get to know. So that's my little take on the Jokers. Now, some of you might have noticed that, well, it kind of seems like the normal, but there's a lot of violence happening in the world just recently in the last month, more than usual. And even this week we see the escalation of the fight with the Israelis and so forth. Well, in the heavens we have a particular aspect called Uranus opposite Saturn. This doesn't happen very often. I'm not sure how often, but I think it's probably, it could be more than 30 years before this would happen again, this particular aspect. And those two are like, when Uranus is squaring or opposing Saturn, it's like wanting to break out and just, it's a violent transit. It's a violent aspect that can cause a lot of tension in the world, which is what we've been experiencing, just general tension. Now, other planets that influence that conjunction there would have an effect. You know, like if Mars were to come into a square to both those planets, which it did in the last month, that could precipitate something, some action in the world that was particularly violent and disruptive. This aspect can also be responsible for earthquakes, things of that nature, because of the fact that Saturn is such a structure planet, and Uranus wants to break structure all to pieces. So we could see this is going to be going for a while, and we could still see in the future perhaps other things evolving out of this. December 29th is the only birthday of the year that I'm aware of that is a double two. Now, there's a Scorpio birthday, the October 24th, that has a double two ruling card. But let me see. Let me just make sure I'm not saying something that's not true. But pretty sure this is the only double two birthday of the entire year. No other twos really connect like these two. No other twos are in each other's life spread, except for the Two of Clubs, but there is no Capricorn Two of Clubs. So here we have a double two. This has got to be one of the most, probably, it could be the most relationship-prone birthdays of the entire year. I mean, a person born today, it's likely that their whole life is nothing but relationships, that all of their most important issues in life on a personal level are relationship oriented Double two. Ted Danson is born today. Who else do we have here? Ex-President Andrew Johnson. Let's see. Who is this? Gelsey Kirkland, ballet dancer. Ray Nitsky, football player. Well, you wouldn't think a double two would be a football player. John Voight, the actor. I really like John Voight. He's born today. Paula Poundstone, the comedian. She's born today. Bigfoot dies. Oh, Bigfoot Sioux Indian chief died today. And the bowling ball was invented on December 29th, way back in time. Happy birthday to all of you, two of hearts. And actually, I have a client, had a client last week whose birthday is today. And happy birthday to you if you're listening, Victoria. So, people born today are double two, two of hearts, one of the karma cards of the ace of clubs, and two of diamonds. So there's not only is love important, but working with those that they love is often important. I would think that people born today meet people at work. Meet people at work. Or end up working with their spouses or their partners. I have known people born today who worked with their partners. A couple of them, actually, already. And I don't meet too many of his birthdays. This is the only birthday of the year that is the Two of Hearts birth card. For those of you who are new to the show, this is a show about cards, about astrology, about current events, about spirituality, about self-development, about enlightenment, about evolving personally. And what does that really mean to each of us? I mean, I remember when, I'm kind of old, I'm 55 years old, and I was around for the harmonic convergence, which I wasn't particularly into, but it was real popular and all my friends were getting into it, so I participated. And, you know, back then, being spiritual was essentially, you know, doing yoga and wearing crystals and, you know, maybe doing a few recreational drugs here and there. That was, you know, living with gurus or being associated with ashrams and all that. I mean, and that was our version of spirituality. That was the best we could come up with at the time. And I assume that, you know, we all evolved in that way. And, you know, I always thought, I moved into an ashram, and I remember when I moved in there, I'd read a bunch of Ram Dass books, and I really thought that I would go to the ashram, and I would be, within 6 months or a year or so, I'd become enlightened. I would leave the ashram and then go out and have lots of fun with all my enlightenment stuff. That was kind of my plan. I had no idea what I was getting into. 10 years later, I finally left the ashram, and I had attained a measure of at least self-love and had a lot of breakthroughs, and a lot of spiritual breakthroughs and spiritual transformations occurred for me during my stay there, and I was really grateful for that. But I also realized that enlightenment is a lifelong pursuit. It's not something that's probably going to happen to you with 6 months of doing yoga and meditation and alternate nostril breathing. But I learned a lot of good things there. I learned a lot of good health habits, which have kept with me to this day. A lot of what my life is today evolved directly out of my experiences, those 10 years at Kripalu Ashram, which in the beginning was in Pennsylvania and then eventually moved to Massachusetts. Probably some of you listening have actually visited there. Kripalu Health Center, it's called now. It was an ashram. But the more the older I get, I hate using that word, I don't feel that old, but we are getting older every day, all of us. The older I get and the more I live, I see that spirituality is more about the ability to be present to what's going on in my life, the ability to be happy all the time. You know, and it's a moment-by-moment experience. It's like at each moment, I have to decide what is the thing that my heart is wanting. I let my heart guide more, my feelings, in a sense. I move towards things that bring me good. in my life. It's not so much about meditation anymore, even though I do still meditate sometimes. It's more about what the meditation can give me, which I can get in other ways too in my life. So I see that spirituality, in its deepest sense, is attaining a level of acceptance and embracing of ourself and embracing of life in such a way that we can go through life and pretty much be like happy all day long and be grateful all day long, just be sort of constantly reminded of all the good things that we have in our life. And I can think of a lot of things I'm grateful for right now. And I find that the older I get, the more time I spend reminding myself of the good things I have. And also speaking out loud, you know, like telling my wife how much I appreciate her and love her, and telling people that I work with how much I appreciate them and love them and appreciate their contributions. Even when I pay my bills, I write on the check, thank you, because I am grateful. It's just a reminder for me. And I really think that that is what spirituality really is, because in that state of gratitude, I am more aware, I am more open, I am more in a receptive mode to all the good that is. If I'm unhappy, it's because I'm focused on something in my mind that's not really happening right now, and I'm making that. I notice this. I've been noticing that, you know, I can accept things better. I think that's really a big thing. I mean, on some level, I think that's an accomplishment. I can't say that I did it. I can't say that I consciously did that. But I notice that lately. I notice it in situations. I notice other people around me getting upset about things and me just saying, oh, that's okay. So like it's not bothering me. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I do still get anxious and I get impatient sometimes. And I mean, I'm still in many ways the same person I was when I was 12 years old in a lot of ways. But there's this other part now where I just can accept life as it is. So this is what it really is. I mean, I used to be very goal-oriented. I still am to a certain extent, but I pick and choose where I become goal-oriented. But I had to accomplish something. It used to be that if I didn't accomplish something, I was very unhappy. Oh, I remember not that long ago, it seems, maybe even like 10 years ago, when if I didn't really get something important done during the day, I would feel bad at the end of the day. I'd have sort of a guilt feeling about myself. It's like working validated myself. Having to work and accomplishing something, getting something off my to-do list, or finishing a project, or finishing a piece of a project. I just had to do that, and if I didn't, I had a sense of guilt, and I could get kind of down on myself about that. But I don't have that anymore. Maybe some of you have that. Maybe you had it in your past. More and more, it's about the day. It's about today. It's not about next week. I mean, I still make plans, but I don't focus too much on it. For example, we have a plan to go away later part of this month, and it's all good. And we've already arranged the flights, and we already, the day that it came together to find a place, that became the big goal. The big goal of that day was just to find a place to stay on our trip. And there's still one to do left of lining up a rental car, and then it'll be done. So maybe tomorrow I'll say, well, that's one of my goals today. I'm going to get that rental car thing handled. But even so, I'm not thinking about it all that much, and I'm not really excited about that day or that trip so much. I know it'll be good, but is it going to be any better than today? No, it's not going to be any better than today. Now is good. What we have going right here, right now, is good. And there's time for everything. There's time to have everything happen in our life. That's what it's really about. I love doing readings. I get to do readings a lot. I have two scheduled tomorrow. Usually I do three in a week, maybe four. I love connecting with people. And I love sort of getting in there with them about themselves in a non-judgmental way, in a way that, you know, I accept who they are. But I'm showing them things about themselves that helps them see how they're being in their life that's creating these repetitive patterns that they might want to change. I won't even use the word bad, usually. I mean, there is bad but in the world, but it's more like a choice. And it's more and more obvious to me just how our choices define our life, though we often make choices from an unconscious place. I would say the number one cause of all the problems in our life is our lack of awareness. Lack of consciousness. Lack of knowing just why, what we're doing and why. Lack of like a deeper connection with ourselves that reveals to us what our underlying true motives are. I mean, I think all of us at some point we fool ourselves even. We say we're doing something for such and such a reason when we're doing it for some other reason altogether. And usually a reason that we're not too happy about and one that one wouldn't be proud of or something along these lines. Well, I do want to mention, I wrote a blog today about the new movie that's just started called The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I don't know how many of you have had a chance to see this yet. It got pretty good reviews. And, I mean, when I read reviews, I don't really read the reviews to figure out, you know, if I want to go see the movie or not. I mean, I don't let their review decide it for me, is what I mean. But I do like to see what they say, because I do get a sense for what the movie's like from listening to their reviews. And it seemed like it was going to be pretty interesting, and it's a long movie. I kind of like long movies myself. And I just love this movie. If you've read the blog on my website, I talk about it some, but I highly recommend this movie. It has a lot of elements to it, and with the main focus being love. And as I said in my blog, it's not just love either, it's actually the love of life that I see featured in this movie. Because just imagine if you were, and I'm not giving anything away by saying this, because it's already been all the previews and everything else, but imagine starting your life as an old man. You're a baby, but you have arthritis, your eyes have cataracts, and imagine, you know, having to spend the first 10 to 15 years of your life as this decrepit person in an old age home where people are dying and where you might die any moment. That's the setting of the movie. That's how it gets started. And it's just such a sweet movie. I can't even describe it. So I want to highly recommend that. I do highly recommend it. I think you'll enjoy it. It's not just a love story. I thought it was going into it because I read all these, reviews and things, and they seem to put the whole thing about the love thing between him and Cate Blanchett, who's known as Daisy in the movie, they seem to make a big deal about that, but that's not really the main focus. There's a lot more to it. It's a rich, really rich, rich in graphic beauty and all kinds of things, but mostly love. Love and relationships of all kinds. So here we come up to this new year, and in some systems, like numerology, for example, the new year begins on the new year for everybody. They combine the last two digits of the year with your birthday number to get a number that personifies for you the year. And so many numerologists will start the year on today, on the 1st of January. The card system, of course, starts on your birthday. But even so, even if your birthday is not on January 1st, it is nice to have this one holiday or one day of the year where we've all decided we're going to sit down and think about what we're going to do this year and if we're going to do anything differently. And there's this thing called New Year's resolutions we can come up with. something we want to commit to that's going to make our life different. So what would your commitment be, or what are you planning, if you're planning to have a New Year's resolution? I think if you call in tonight, I'm going to ask you probably what's your New Year's resolution, if you've had any ideas or thoughts on it. I remember I used to make a big deal about it for myself. It was important to me. I was always looking to the future. And the new year was a time to, I'll reveal a little secret of mine. I used to go down to the bookstores, a bookstore, whichever one, a big one close by, and I would, if you go in the astrological section, I don't know if they still do this as much, but there used to be all these books about the prediction for the coming year for each sun sign. So there would be a book for, you know, Capricorns, Aquariuses, Pisces, Aries, you know, Cancers. Every sign had a book. And the book would tell you what the year was going to be like based on your sign. And it was just for this one particular year. It wasn't for every year, just the year coming, whatever year it was. But they would have as many as three or four different publishers would all publish the same exact kind of book. So there'd be one by Dell, and there'd be one by, I don't know, Lou Ellen or somebody. There would be at least three or four different versions of the same book, and I would go to the bookstore, and I would read the general prediction for the year from each of these books, and I would pick the one that I liked the most, and there would always be one that would be better than the others. It would be really upbeat and positive, and I would buy that book, and I would take it home, and I would basically make that book come true. I don't do that anymore, but it was fun. I remember. And it would always work. It always worked. I was always able to have those things happen in my life the year they were predicted in the book that I chose. And I would ignore the other books that didn't have such a nice story. If they had some negative stuff in there, I would just put it right back down in the shop. I would just completely ignore it. Now I do predictions for my clients, you know, and I'm looking for where is Jupiter going to be in the coming year. That's one of the first things. I wonder where all the good stuff's going to happen. Where should this person be paying attention, where there could be a lot of good happen in their life? And Jupiter is the number one planet for that. If you're not watching Jupiter in your chart, you're missing out. Jupiter is right now, today, it's at 21 and 3/4 degrees of Virgo. Now, each sign has 30 degrees, so when it reaches 30 degrees of Virgo, it's out of Virgo and into Leo. And that'll be happening soon, not too long from now. But right now, it's at 21 degrees. I'm sorry, that's Saturn. I'm sorry, I apologize. I was looking at Saturn. Jupiter is actually at 28 degrees and a half of Capricorn. And soon it will be in Aquarius. And Jupiter is the only planet that stays in each sign just about 1 year. It's very interesting. And almost exactly a year. And even in your own chart, it'll be in each house for approximately 1 year. All the other planets are much different, like Saturn's 2.5 years or 2.25. And, you know, they're all different. But Jupiter's 1 year. So it's really nice to know where is Jupiter going. If you were born today, Jupiter would be in your sixth house of health, and it would be moving into your seventh house within a month or so, the seventh house being the house of relationships. So I would highly recommend to all my listeners, if you haven't already done so, if you just want to do something really simple with astrology, something that you could actually handle and that would be, you know, not a big deal, but could be very helpful, is get a copy of your natal chart and see where Jupiter is sitting in your natal chart. You can go online to astro.com. I think they probably have a free report. They certainly have a free report for your natal chart. And I think they will tell you where the planets are today. So you can determine what house of your zodiac, of your chart, Jupiter is in. If you were Capricorn rising, for example, Jupiter's probably in your first house. And then read about all the good things that Jupiter's going to do now and when it moves into the next house in your zodiac. There's always, I guess this is the message of Jupiter, is that there's always something good happening in your life And Jupiter is just one of those planets that brings that always good thing. You might say, well, Saturn always brings bad things, but not always, because even Saturn, which is known as the almost the opposite of Jupiter, is known to bring good things in the right situation. So just Saturn's presence in a house is not necessarily going to be bad. You got to keep that in mind. It probably will be some problems if it squares something in your chart. I've had several friends who were Sagittarians, and they had Saturn square their Sun for about 9 months while it was early in the earlier degrees of Virgo, and they had a lot of problems and challenges. I mean, they got through them because they're mature and they've been through problems before, but there were some challenges to deal with there. The good thing about all the planets is they keep moving, and they just move right along. And before long, whatever problems you had have dissipated, and you have a new set of circumstances to deal with. So on this new year, let's just take a look now. I have a chart up for today. I want to just see what the planets are going to look like here in 2 days, 3 days, actually. And I'll just give you a little bit of a hint on the planets. So we're going to have the moon is going to be in Pisces on the new year. It's going to be in the early degrees of Pisces. Let's see. Let's go into the early morning here and take a look. Yeah, the moon is in Pisces. We have also Uranus is in Pisces. And I mentioned Uranus earlier because it's opposing Saturn. And Saturn's going to go retrograde on the 1st, and it's going to cross back over Uranus. So they have a date to afflict each other again. There's going to be more problems from those two planets. That won't necessarily affect you as an individual, because unless you have planets around 20 degrees of one of the mutable signs. The mutable signs are Sag, Pisces, Gemini, and Virgo. If you have something around 20 degrees of either one of those signs, you may be affected by this opposition. Otherwise, probably not. Mars is in Capricorn, and so is the Sun, and so is Pluto. And Mars is conjunct Pluto right now and will be through the new year. This is extremely powerful. People born around now will have such a powerful will. And these people will be people that are born in the next week here will be people that are out to change the world and do something huge with their life. They're going to want to do something that would be last forever, or cause something to change the world in some huge way. Okay? The Sun is in Capricorn, Pluto's in Capricorn, and Mars is in Capricorn, and Jupiter's in Capricorn, all in Capricorn on the new year here. That's pretty interesting. And Saturn's in Virgo, which is harmonious with Capricorn. Not that it's really aspecting any of these planets per se, but it is a harmonious sign. And Venus is in Aquarius, along with Neptune and Chiron. And they're fairly close. They're conjunct by about 5 degrees, more or less. But that's not as close as it could be. But, you know, right now I believe Venus and Neptune recently conjuncted. That's a really romantic aspect. That's a great aspect to have in a natal chart as well. So that's the sky, the heavens, on this New Year's Day. And that sets off our year. We have the opposition with Uranus and Saturn. We have a conjunction with Pluto and Mars. And we have Jupiter and Mercury also conjunct. Oh, man, people born around the New Year this year are going to be super genius smart. Oh, my goodness, super genius smart. This could be an interesting card chart with Pluto and Mars conjunct and Jupiter and Mercury conjunct. This could be a really interesting chart for somebody, anyone born on that day, January 1st. So what's going to be your net resolution tonight? When you call in, I would love to hear from you about what you'd like to see happen. And then I'll take a look at your cards and see if the cards support that. That'll be a fun little exercise to do. We're going to be taking a break here in just a second. Seth says he wants to do something. I don't know what that is. Seth is the guy you talk to when you call in to talk on the show. I've never met him in person. I've just heard his voice. I really, really like him. And he does a great job with the show. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to hear a song from Bhakti Rock. I'd like to hear the song Rama Rama from Bhakti Rock, Seth, if you're listening. And when we come back, we'll be taking your calls. We have someone waiting patiently in line, too, named Donna. But we'll come back, and any other calls you have, we'll take them, and we'll go on from here. And have your New Year's resolution ready so we can talk about that. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. That was Bhakti Rock. That was the song Rama Rama, one of my favorites on the CD. Hope you enjoyed it. We have waiting patiently on the line. We have Donna. I don't know where she's from. I think she called last week. And she has a question about the cards. The phone lines are open, so call in if you'd like to also. So are you there, Donna?
Yes, Robert, I'm here.
Thanks for being
Florida.
So patient.
Oh, happy to do so. I am from Florida. I'm a Six of Hearts, Sagittarian, so I've got an Eight of Clubs, planetary ruling card.
Yes. Sure.
And very, very impressed by the accuracy of the cards. Learned about your books 2 months ago. Have read them, purchased almost everything on your website, read it, listened to the DVDs. it's amazing.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
It is phenomenal, and I was glad to learn about your radio program. I've listened to it the last couple of weeks. So I'm in my 52nd year. I just turned 52, so I'm in my critical year, and I'm interested in talking a little bit about that because you asked for the New Year's resolution, and what I'd like to do is to learn the system thoroughly this year. I've been studying astrology for the last few years, and it's a very deep subject, as you know, a lot of things to consider, and I've studied Vedic astrology, and I just love it. I'm just engrossed in it. I'm fortunate in that I am self-employed, so I have a lot of time that I can devote to this. My 45th year, which is the rebirth year, was unbelievable. Was raised such strict Judeo-Christian that I had total adversity toward anything of this nature. Someone challenged my beliefs, and in trying to prove my beliefs to myself, and I disproved a lot of them, but it opened up a lot of new doorways into astrology and psychic. I was against any psychic talents or anything.
Well, I understand, because
that's
basically most Christian religions are down on any of that stuff, so I understand.
Right. So a complete turnaround in my life over the last few years. So it is interesting that I can see all of this in the life spreads also. So it's just something that I know nothing about. So I'm thrilled.
Well, it's great to have you. I'm really glad you're getting so much from using the system. That's wonderful.
It is. It is a blessing, to say the least. What I'd like you to look at, if you don't mind, is my 52nd year.
Yeah, I am.
There's the Queen of Clubs, you know, in the long range, and the Seven of Spades in the environment, and then I've got that Ace of Spades right now, which is the symbol for the Magi cards.
That's true.
In the last, since my birthday is when I've delved into this. I think that's interesting.
Well, the first thing about the 52nd year, it's actually the 53rd year of life, actually, because the first year of life starts when we're 0 years old. But the thing about this year is that, for you, is you have a Seven of Spades environment. That's the first thing I look at. The environment card for age 52 is what I call a lifetime challenge card. And it means that it's something that we need to integrate in our life if we're going to really have as fabulous a life as we can. Okay?
Okay.
And for you, that's the Seven of Spades is the card of faith. It means being willing to take a leap of faith and go do the things that you really feel drawn to do and not let circumstances stop you. That's what the meaning of that is. I don't know exactly how that would fit your particular case. You might know.
I probably do.
Yeah.
It would probably have enough faith in myself to be able to learn, to have the confidence. I have a lot of, being an Eight of Clubs, I've got a lot of head knowledge, a lot of book knowledge. It would be allowing the unseen, the faith, to operate through me. to be able to help.
And you know, it might indicate that you need to like take a leap of faith and go start doing this kind of work. You know,
work, right?
You know, being willing to go after it may not be this particular kind of work, but maybe it sounds like it might be for you. But it would certainly mean something. You're taking a risk on something. You see.
Okay, that's what the seven of faith means.
Yeah, it means having the faith to take a leap of faith in something that normally would be considered risky. That makes sense?
Spades has to do with your work and with spirituality also, doesn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of cards in the deck have sort of like an archetypal meaning of the words. They're like archetypes of certain energies. And, you know, like the King of Hearts is the Father card, and the Six of Hearts is the Peacemaker card, and like this. Well, the Seven of Hearts is the card of faith. And I see it show up usually in the lives of people who are about to embark on, like, something they've always wanted to do, but we're always afraid that they wouldn't be able to pull it off.
Right, a fear of failure. I mean, with that, I guess it's...
Fear of failure or fear that, you know, they wouldn't have enough money or they might... Yeah, basically feel it. Fear of failure pretty much covers it.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
So are you going to take a leap this year?
Well, I'm hoping to be able to master this system. That's what I was hoping to be able to do. Master this system so that I can use it to help people. I mean, I do help my family, those who are willing to be helped or who are interested in the knowledge. But yes, I would love to. I've got an opportunity to teach here in the area if I can feel confident enough. That's going to be the whole issue, feeling confident enough to use it.
Yeah, well, I know that you're smart enough. You're already... You've probably already learned most of it and don't even realize it. Six of Hearts are really actually... People wouldn't... Normally, you wouldn't consider Six of Hearts to be a mentally brilliant card, but they actually are in real life. They're really smart.
Yeah, I can't deny that. I would like that area.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising for a heart. You wouldn't think, you know, that they would be that sharp. But, because hearts don't focus on the mind as much, usually. But Six of Hearts, because you have Four of Clubs in Mercury, Eight of Clubs in Jupiter, these are all really good mental cards, you know.
Right, they are. They are, and I thought it was interesting that the Four of Clubs is the Virgo card of the whole deck, and my ascendant is Virgo, so that is verified, you know. And you say right in the book that you'll have a strong, you know, it sits at the Mars row and the Mars column, and that you will always have a strong Mars influence in your chart. Well, I have Mars in the seventh house, which directly affects my ascendant. So very strong Mars influence. So it's,
yeah, and you like Mars relationships too.
Well, I'm married, and I've been married to my Saturn, Six of Diamonds, for 33 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And it has definitely been a Saturn relationship, but Saturn, you know, gives long-term relationships, too, sometimes, so.
Yeah, it does. And Six of Hearts usually have longer-term relationships.
Yeah.
All the Sixes tend to hang in there for a long time, you know.
Well, we have.
Yeah.
He's a Six of Diamonds, so we have hung in there, but and I'm sure we'll keep hanging in there. The only thing that did concern me is when I look at his yearly spread for this year, I didn't like it at all for my help. He had, he's 55 also, and he has right now a nine, his period is the Venus period, and he has a Nine of Spades and a Six of Hearts there, and I was like, ooh, that's not good for me. And we just took a trip this weekend. I told him, I said, you better be very careful.
Well, you never know.
I know, you never know. But the nine,
we don't know we don't know what's in your heart either, you know.
We don't know what's in my heart?
Yeah, we don't know what's in your heart either in terms of, you know, your marriage. Are you happy in your marriage, or is it something you would like to see change in some way? You know, there's room for all kinds of variety. Yeah.
Right, there are. We're in this long term. I mean, I think happiness is something that you put aside for the marriage itself is an entity. And once you have children and you've developed a life together, I think you put your own desires and wishes aside and just, you know, I basically live for my husband and my children, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I have a lot of freedom. I have a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
And the cards and the studying of astrology gives me so much enjoyment that if other areas aren't completely where I would want them to be, it's okay.
Well, I don't know. I think things are going to be fine for you and your husband this year. And you've got a Four of Hearts in Jupiter this year, so he's going to be making more money this year as well. Things are going to improve. I think it's going to be okay.
I've got a Four of Hearts in Jupiter this year?
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see a Queen of Clubs and a Seven. Maybe under my Eight of Clubs, I do.
Yeah, in your Eight of Clubs, but...
Okay. Yeah, and I really relate to the Eight of Clubs, but I can see both of them. It's interesting how you do have to combine the two for someone.
Well, you have to look at both spreads because there are things happening at the same time in different parts of your life, you know. The birth card stuff is happening, but so is the ruling card stuff.
Okay.
They're both happening, and they're not connected or related necessarily. They're probably two different things, usually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they're happening during the... I mean, 52 days is a long time. A lot of stuff can happen in 52 days.
Right.
Not just one thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I noticed on your website that you wrote an article about the Eight of Clubs woman.
Yeah, the mystery of the Eight of Clubs woman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's usually for the birth card Eight of Clubs, not the ruling card.
Okay.
Usually.
All right.
We'll see. It could be you.
Pardon?
It could happen to you. I don't know.
I was going to order the article and read it.
Okay. Yeah, it's in like Visions 1 or 2, I think. It's one of the older ones.
Right, it is. That was
a lot of Eight of Clubs buy that book.
Okay.
To find out what the mystery is.
Funny.
I know, it is funny. So this is going to be a spectacular year. This is about how good will you allow your life to be. That's the whole thing, see, for this coming year. And for the rest of your life. That's the question that you'll answer over the course of this year. How good can you let it be? Or do you, or will you keep limits on your happiness? Most of us limit our happiness.
Right.
And we don't even know sometimes. Sometimes we've been doing it so long, we don't even see it anymore. You know, we don't even see all the limitations that we've placed on ourselves. Because out of habit, we've just done it so long.
What is it that's so special about the 52nd year? You call it the critical year?
Yeah. It's the year we decide to live or die and how well we will live the rest of our life.
Okay.
See, there's a lot of people that are alive that aren't really alive. You know what I mean? They're living, but they're not really... Their life is very unhappy.
Right.
So that's not really living. That's what I'm saying. So a lot of people do die around age 52, and in real life, they do. And others make a big choice, like, about their life, about how they're going to live the rest of their life. It's a real important decision-making year on a deep spiritual level. That's the easiest way I can describe it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That helps.
So I'm excited for you. This is going to be good. And it's also a blessed year. It's a Jupiter year, so good things always happen at age 52. So it's like, okay, it's going to be good. Well, can you let it be great? That's the question.
Okay.
Can it be just spectacular? Because it can be if we let it.
Wow.
Is that helpful?
Yes, it was. It was very helpful. I enjoyed talking to you, Robert.
Yeah, same here. And, you know, keep in touch. Let's, as you get into this new year, let us know how things are going.
Oh, I definitely will. I'll call you back with other questions.
Okay. Love to hear from you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for being my guest tonight, Donna, and have a wonderful year.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take a short break. If you have questions or want to talk and talk about your resolution, give us a call. Now the lines, all lines are open. We're going to listen to the song Sitaram, and when we come back, we'll be taking your calls. Be right back after Sitaram. Welcome back, Ari. Sitaram from Bhakti Rock, the rock and roll version of chanting on my website, on my new CD. Oh, not so new anymore, but my CD, Bhakti Rock. Hope you enjoyed it. We have an old friend calling from Chicago. Mary Lee is online, too. Are you there, Mary?
I am, Robert. Happy New Year to you and your wife.
I heard it's pretty cold up there.
Oh, it is. But it's typical for Chicago.
Is it? Wow.
All of our snow is gone.
It sounded like it was a little more intense than usual when I was talking to some people, but
yeah,
maybe they were
exaggerating. It rained and all of our snow and ice is gone now, so.
Oh, great.
We're doing much better now, except flooding, but we're doing okay.
Flooding now? Oh, after the snow's melting and now it's all flooded?
Right.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
That's why we have to count our blessings, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot to be grateful for, that's for sure. Up there in Chicagoland.
My question for you, Robert, is how does a person cope when they're going through their Saturn period? What's some good advice about that?
Well, you know, I guess a lot would depend on what kind of Saturn period they're having, because not everybody has a really hard Saturn period. I see you are in one that looks fairly difficult.
Yes, it is. It's been a rough one so far.
And I see you have a Six of Diamonds. Are there financial considerations?
No, things are going okay here.
Mm-hmm. So is it with relationships?
No, people are just driving me crazy. Just putting out my nerves. Something fierce.
Like you normally don't think about killing people, but now you are.
Right. Well, my Libra rising saves all that usually. You know, I love that peace and harmony. But people are just driving me crazy.
They're pushing you to your limits.
Yeah. A lot of crazy things going on.
Well, you know, the whole thing about Saturn is, and as uncomfortable as it is sometimes, is that whatever is happening, the message that Saturn is giving us is, okay, how did you contribute to this showing up in your life? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's, in other words, it's always about us having to make some kind of change, not those around us so much. Now, maybe you're a person that normally doesn't ever express her dissatisfaction with things. You know, like you were saying, Libra rising has you always taking care of everybody else, right?
True.
So your lesson might be to really be able to say when enough is enough.
Oh, that's very true. Mm-hmm.
You know, breaking through whatever fears you might have about standing up for some boundaries in your life, perhaps. See.
Yeah, I think
you you do have a Three of Hearts there in Saturn. So, you know, I thought there'd be something with people or some person in your life going on.
Yeah, I guess I have to learn not to let people take advantage of me. And that's probably what's going on right now. I've about had it with people.
Uh-huh, yeah. So that could be a good thing, you see.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie I talked about earlier, the Benjamin Button movie yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it is wonderful.
I'm going to make sure I go to see that.
Yeah, it's. I think it would kind of ease. It would help you to relax a little bit here in your Saturn period.
Well, good. It might.
Sometimes the movies are nice.
Yeah.
Especially movies that takes you right out of your life and has you thinking of different things. You know, I always think that's a good thing sometimes. You know.
Uh huh. Well, that's my New Year's resolution, to start taking some time for me. So,
well, great.
I'll start with the movie.
Don't even invite anybody to go with you.
Right. Just me.
Just say, I'll be back in a couple hours. See you later.
Well, I'm a little like you when it comes to that. I'm a hermit, so.
Yeah.
I can do that. It won't bother me at all.
Oh, good. That sounds like a really good idea. Really good idea.
It's probably bothering me because I've been in the house for the last 17 days recuperating from a little health problem, and my little Gemini can't stand staying in the house.
Oh, so, yeah.
It's probably got a lot to do with that.
Geminis, they need to get out in the car and go somewhere.
Yeah. Tomorrow, I'm going to break out tomorrow, so it'll be great.
Yeah. Oh, good. I hope the weather is supportive of your plan.
Yes, we're only going to have a little bit of snow, so it won't be too bad.
I mean, I'm in California, and it doesn't snow here very much, but I kind of miss the snow, even though I think Chicago's a little too much.
Yeah.
Like, well, enough's enough.
You'll be coming here soon, so we'll make sure there won't be any snow when you get here.
Oh, yeah, I'll make sure of that, too. I liked Asheville because Asheville had snow, but just enough snow where you go, what a lovely snow. And then it was gone.
Well, the weather conditions are changing all over the world.
Yeah.
It's really
unbelievable. Weather patterns, definitely. Yeah, a lot of things are in sort of a state of flux right now. And then we have the Mayan calendar, which is, you know, 2012 is the year that ends, and we don't even know what all that means yet, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting journey.
Yeah. Well, my new mantra is, we're going to be fine in 209. That's my phone, everybody. And we're going to shine. So I have high hopes for 209.
2009 is on its way. Let's see. What is that? That's an 11. That's a master number, right? So.
My favorite number.
Maybe it's going to be really spectacular.
Oh, I'm sure it is. In spite of all the terrible things people are going through, I think we're going to get through it all.
Well, you're the eternal optimist over there.
Yes, I am.
Well, somebody's got to do that.
For a warrior, that's pretty hard to pull off, too. I have to start practicing what I preach, which is what I tell my clients. Why worry about things you can't change?
So you have a Ten of Hearts coming up in your Uranus period, Mary Lee. So why don't you host a little class right there in your Uranus period? That's a good idea.
Oh, okay.
You know, because you got a Ten of Hearts and a Jack of Clubs. It's a perfect combination to have a little spiritual get-together. And you'll have a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. Because all my clients are asking me to do this, so it'll be perfect timing there.
Yeah, I mean, this is how you can harmonize with the cards, you know. You see something good coming like that, and you just make a few plans, and now it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And you know with a Ten of Hearts, you're going to have a blast. It's going to be so much fun. Everybody's going to have a good time.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Now, Robert, why don't I have an environment card this year?
You never have one because you're in Eight of Clubs. You know why you don't have one, though? Because you won't ever move.
Oh, okay.
You won't budge.
An Eight of Clubs? Oh, come on. I'm much more like my six, Robert, than I am my Eight of Clubs.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I am. I'm very adaptable.
I'll have to ask your friends.
I am a Gemini with the Libra rising, now you know. I'm adaptable.
Well, who said Six of Diamonds were flexible?
Oh.
Whoever said that.
Well, I thought it would help my Eight of Clubs out.
Well, I guess any card would help Eight of Clubs a little bit, you know. Give them a little different slant on things.
Well, I may be moving, Robert, which is probably really going to shake up my Eight of Clubs. Because I've lived in my same house 3 generations, 57 years.
When are you thinking about moving?
Pardon me?
When are you thinking about moving?
Maybe next year.
Well, you do have a Five of Diamonds in Venus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good move card.
Yep, I think it's going to be time.
You have all the move cards next year, so that's great. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm just hoping that my little Venus card comes, my little Two of Hearts comes back, because I've had a Two of Hearts in many, many years in all my cards. And I haven't had one for a while, so I'm looking forward to that.
When are you having that?
Oh, not till next year.
And let me see. I don't see it.
You don't? It's in my Mercury next year.
Oh, Mercury. I thought you said you had it in Venus. That's why I got mixed up.
Oh, no, not in Venus. But I thought it might help my little Venus out.
Well, your long-range card next year is a 10 of hearts, so you're going to have to get out there and get more social. And then your little heart can start to kick in. All that heart energy can start to kick in for you.
Well, that'll be good.
Yeah, but the first step is you got to, like, get out there, you know.
Well, you know how
make yourself available for something to show up.
Right. That'll be making my Venus and Mars conjunct in Aries happy, too, right?
You have Venus and Mars conjunct in Aries? Oh, my God.
I do. I'm the seventh house cusp.
You should be having a boyfriend all the time.
I usually do.
Good for you.
It's usually in Aries, can you believe?
It's usually what?
It's usually in Aries, too. I have it in Aries.
Oh, yeah, I know you mentioned that. That's
right.
That's pretty fiery.
Yep. That's for me,
Most people don't know that people that have a lot of fire signs, that's a sexual thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't realize that.
Oh, they don't know what they're missing, right?
I'm not telling.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm looking for a new love.
I see. Okay. Yeah, well, your Pluto card's an Ace of Hearts next year, too. So you're obviously going to find one or two.
Well, that'll be good. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a Ten of Hearts. That'll be wonderful.
Ten of Hearts. You've got Four of Hearts long range also. Queen of Hearts and Neptune. So it's all good.
That's good. I'm glad. Well, I wish you and your wife a happy new year, and I'm sure we're going to meet person to person next year.
I'm sure, too. I'm looking forward to it.
All your Chicago fans are looking forward to it.
Well, me too, and I'll let you know whenever we start to make any plans to come out that way so we can get something going.
Okay, great.
All right, Mary Lee, you have a great evening and get some rest.
Thank you. You too, and blessings to you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, this is time for another break. We're going to listen to this song, Krishna. And when we come back, if there's any calls, we're going to take your calls. So this is the time to call if you're going to call. Be right back. Welcome back, all right. That was Krishna from my CD Bhakti Rock, and we have Cora from Michigan on line one. We're going to get her on the line here before it's too late for her. It's getting late out there. Are you there, Cora?
I am.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing good.
Do you know you're the same birthday as the actress Kate Blanchett?
I do. The 14th?
Yeah. Yes.
Cool.
So are you as restless as she is?
As restless?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably. I think my New Year's resolution this year is to find a job. I was wondering if anything in my card showed some promise there.
Uh-huh. So how did you end up not having a job, just out of curiosity?
Well, I'm a nurse, and I've done nursing for over 25 years. And I did a short-term job last year, and then I thought I'd like to maybe get into something else, but I've tried, you know, I've applied for jobs, and nothing seems to be opening up. I'm not sure what I want to do, you know. I'm almost 52, and I don't know what I want to do with my life, you know. I want to do when I grow up, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah.
You know, and you have this Ace of Spades this year as an environment card. And this will be a great year for you to make a huge shift in your life.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. But right now you're in Saturn and you have a card of worrying about money, Three of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you... nothing bad's going to happen, I can tell you that.
Okay.
But you can't help but be concerned, you know,
mm-hmm.
during this time period. So you want to be sort of just aware of that you have a chronic, right now in Saturn, it's usually chronic, I would say, chronic sense of uncertainty happening.
Okay.
Follow me?
Does that clear up once I get into Saturn period?
It does. But still, even though you have this going on, this doesn't change the fact that this is a really great year for you to make a break for something completely different in your life. Now, let me ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
Do you have people depending on you to live?
No, I'm actually depending on somebody else right now, but yeah.
Okay, so you have no reason not to go for it.
Right.
You know, and I mean, what would be the most important thing you could do right now in your life? I mean, what would be the most meaningful thing? If you could accomplish anything in the next week, what would you choose to accomplish? Just curious.
I don't know.
I mean, do you have any questions about your life?
About my life?
Yeah, like where are you going? What's it about?
Yeah,
why
that
are you,
is my
why
question.
Are you here taking up space? You know, why are you taking up space here on the planet? Another way of putting it, you know.
Right, and that's what my question is, but I don't seem to be getting the answer to that.
Well, when I asked you, you know, if you could accomplish anything in the next few days, why didn't you say to find out what the hell I want to do here?
Yeah, find out. Okay, yeah, you're right.
You see what I'm saying? Okay, well, you have to first put it out there. See, it's not going to happen to you. Like, it's like you have a secret from God. Like, you're not going to tell him because you don't want to or something. You got to put it out to the higher powers what it is you want to see show up. You got to be clear about it, even if it's just that you want some answers.
Okay.
Like, I don't think you need a new job. I think what you need is a whole new approach to your life, Cora.
Okay.
You know, one that feels differently than it's felt before. One where you feel like your life has a deeper sense of meaning or something. I don't know, you know. Like, not just a job, but something that you love to do or that you feel inspired to do for more reasons than just survival. That's
right.
My thoughts about it, you know. I can't say that I have all the answers or anything, but that's what comes to mind when I look at your cards, your birthday, and all the other rest of it here.
Right.
So why not go for everything big? Because you're starting out, this next year is like the most important year of life, okay?
Right.
And your year says that it's always been fear that's held you back. That's what it says.
Okay.
So.
I can see that in some ways.
How would your life look if you didn't allow your fear to make all your decisions? How differently might your life look if your decisions were made from love and excitement and joy and things like that, see?
Right.
That's the question. Would your life look differently? Probably would. So you have a perfect setup this year and next. You don't even have to wait till next year for this. But you have the perfect combination of influences that would indicate you making a huge change in your life for the better. And my only question to you is, would you give up everything you have to have what you really want?
Sure, I think I would.
Okay, well, then just be willing. Just hang out with that, like, that thought that, you know, okay, I'm ready to go for it. That's the thought that I suggest you hang out with, that you're
okay.
Ready to go for it, whatever it is. You know? With no limitations on it. You know, just when I was in my 52nd year, I took this workshop, and I've spoken about it before, training in North Carolina. It was expensive. It cost me about $2,000 to take it, and it lasted 3 weeks. And I took it just because I thought there was a chance it might help me, you know.
Right.
And it was really difficult. It was difficult to do it, believe it or not, because it was very intense. But I had everything on the line because, you know, I wanted things to be different. I had to do something. I didn't know what else to do, you know. And I did that, and it absolutely changed my life. I think something like that would be really good for you, something where you really get in there. Because you're starting on this 52 year is like one of the most blessed years of life. But if we're so ingrained in our patterns of, like, holding back and making choices from fear, a lot of that can just pass us by. You know, I knew I was 52. I knew I had to do something. I just went for it. And that's what I suggest you do, something like that.
Okay.
So if you just start asking God, just say, you know, tell me what I should do. I'll do anything. And then just see what shows up.
Well, I think a good part of this year has been learning the lesson that fear. Because you're right, a lot of my life has been, you know, I didn't quit my job even though I didn't like it for a long time because of fear.
Yeah.
But I've gone this year without a job and, you know, I'm still here and I'm still okay.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You know, so I've gotten past a lot of that, which is probably my lesson for this year. But
yeah, part of it for sure.
Sure.
Well, that's great, Cora. I mean, you know, Typically, Five of Diamonds people have issues with authority. That's typical.
Oh, really?
It starts with father, with their own fathers, you know.
Okay.
And because
yeah.
they don't have, because they usually don't have a very good relationship with their father, they have sort of a bad relationship with anything that looks like success.
So it's dad's fault, huh?
It's not dad's fault.
Okay.
But it is from the influence of dad that these things show up.
Right. Okay.
And I mean, whenever I meet a Five of Diamonds, I'll always say to them, you know, did you have a really tough relationship with your father? Oh, yeah, I sure did. You know, I've never heard one say, oh, no, I just love my dad and it's great. Still waiting for that one to show up.
Uh-huh.
And father represents success. Father represents, you know, conforming enough to fit in with the rest of the world and feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how that all plays out. But so I know it's going to be good, and you don't have to wait till after your birthday to get started with this.
Because this is going to be a year of change, my 52nd year, right? Even more than usual?
It has the potential for that if you allow it to.
Right.
I mean, I think what you need is like a completely... You need to let go of everything in your life and start over again. That's what I think.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. You know, just be ready. Be ready to do whatever it takes. It'll show up. I mean, if you ask for it, you'll get the message. You'll get the little signpost. Go here, go there. You'll know where you need to be. Those messages always come through sooner or later.
Right.
That's been my experience.
All right, well, cool.
Is that helpful at all?
Yeah, it has been. Yep. I appreciate it a lot.
Any other questions?
I don't think so. I was
just happy to get
through. I tried last week and couldn't get through because it was busy, but this week I got through.
Yeah, a couple of people said they had trouble, even though the lines didn't really appear to be full.
Huh.
I don't know what was happening, but I'm glad you made it through.
Well, thank you very much, Robert.
All righty. Have a good night, Cora. Well, and talk to us again after the year. Let me know how things are going, okay?
Okay, cool. I will.
All right. All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye. Okay, on this next break, we're going to listen to the song, Karna's Song. And after the break, if we have calls, we're going to keep going. Our show is still on the air. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. That was Karna. Karna was a warrior from ancient times who was a magnificent person who was considered the best warrior that ever lived on the face of the earth. And I could tell you about some of the feats he did, but you wouldn't be able to relate to it. It sounds like science fiction. Anyway, we do have a caller. We have John from Connecticut, who was born January 6, 1952, and he has a question. Are you there, John?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm real fine, thank you. I've read your books quite a bit, and I think they're amazing material because of all the way it correlates with people in their lives. And I work in the healing profession, so I can see that in issues and attitudes and things that they're releasing in their life. So I really follow your book, and I think it's invaluable material. My question was, like my day was the Epiphany, and is there a significance on specific days like the Epiphany or whatever? I know a lot
of your birthday is the Epiphany birthday.
Yes. Pardon me?
Your birthday is the day of the Epiphany?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar. Is that Catholic or what? What is that?
Well, yeah, it has biblical implications to it, but, you know, alone by your question there, I could see that that would be probably just more related to the church than astrological. Huh?
Yeah, I don't think, well, you know, it's enough in our system that you're an eight of spades with a three of clubs ruling card. That's a lot.
I see.
So we don't, somebody being born on Christmas, which is a six of diamonds, a six of hearts with a six of diamonds ruling card. And
right.
You wouldn't even think, you would think a Christmas birthday would be the most loving person, and yet those people can be so competitive that you wouldn't believe it. You know? And,
sure, because the date of Christmas was probably actually a different date, I would suppose, the actual birth of Christ.
Yeah, there was actually a show on last night about that. Well, actually, they were trying to track the Star of Bethlehem, like what really caused that. But it all came down to, like, well, when was he born, actually, you know?
Sure.
And they're pretty certain he was born 5 or 6 years before B.C., or before year one. And they figured it out because King Herod had died by age one, and he was alive during Christ's birth, so... You know, they were trying to, like, track it back. So, yeah, it's hard to say. And, you know, all we need to know, though, about you is that you're born on January 6th and you are an eight of spades with a three of clubs ruling card. So, sounds like you're doing a lot of good things with your power, like you're putting it to good use.
Right. Would there be any special significance in this year coming up for me? This is, that would be... an 11-year, you know, in numerology. To me, an 11, it deals with the ascension, you know, the ascension energies. 11 and all deals with the ascension energies. But
right.
How would that affect me specifically being turning 57 in this coming year?
Well, you know, I don't need to know. I don't actually mix numerology and the cards together myself.
Uh-huh.
So in the cards, you're not having an 11 year, okay? You are having 11 year in numerology, but not in the card system. And the card system has its own little group of influences. And, you know, you're having a year when you have a 10 of clubs environment and a 3 of clubs displacement. And the whole message I get out of this is you're supposed to be writing a book.
Right. I've been working on that for a couple of years now.
Yeah, well, this is going to be the year you get it going.
Uh-huh.
Like, for real.
Okay.
The thing about being a Three of Clubs ruling card is that you can change your mind a lot, you know.
Right. I see.
You can be into something, and then you're out of something, and then you're back into it. Well, but writing is something that never quite leaves you, you know. It never quite goes away. And you've got every writing influence there is this year. You've got the Ten of Clubs, the Three of Clubs, and the King of Clubs. And they're all in good position. So if you have any intentions to ever write a book, you do it now or you're not going to ever do it.
I see. Okay. Sure. So did you know, okay, as far as with coming so close to the year 2012, does this affect, for example, personal years and things of this nature, or is there any changes in that with the lessening of karma or anything of that nature that you've noticed in your own readings or observations?
Well, I don't know if there's going to be, I don't think that the 2012 year is going to change anything about the card system. The card system being based on the rotation of the earth around the sun and the seasons and so forth, I don't believe those are going to change as a result of 2012. So all those things will still apply as far as I know.
Right. I could see what you mean there. What I was figuring that wouldn't apply would be the reduction of karma on the earth plane in moving into a higher vibration.
Well, you know, there's been this ongoing kind of discussion for as long as I can remember. There's always some group of people or somebody out there thinking that there's going to be some astrological event that's going to happen that's going to somehow all of a sudden make everybody turn to a good person.
Right.
Without them having to work through anything, just, you know, somehow the energies of the plants are going to, like, zing all of us, and we're all of a sudden going to treat each other like human beings for a change. Personally, I don't really believe that's going to happen, ever. I think it's going to happen one by one, that each of us will become enlightened, and by our own individual effort. That's my personal take. Now, if something like that did happen, I'm not going to be opposed to it.
Sure, because the planet seems to have started to move in that direction over the since the harmonic convergence. Many people have been awakening, and we all know that we can't change anyone. We can only change self, and through that we affect others.
Exactly.
I see so many people awakening now that it seems like that's part of the process. Just others will be affected by them. It's something like along the alignment of the 100th monkey syndrome.
Well, you know, Eckhart Tolle speaks of that, and he said, I've been talking about him a lot lately, is that, you know, he says that there's a lot more people, and he sort of indicates that there's this sort of wave happening right now of awakenings of people. But even he admits it's still rather a microscopic portion of society is actually experiencing this. But there may be some truth to that. I mean, I don't want to be the one to say, oh, that's not true, because it certainly could be true. But you look around today and you see people doing the same old stuff to each other, and you see wars being fought for ridiculous reasons, and you see, you know, people killing each other, and, you know, the number one cause of death is somebody else killing us.
Sure. Right. Everyone wants to be right, I guess, huh?
But, we will kill people to be right.
Sure, exactly. But I think that we're seeing all of this chaos now because it's simply that everything has to come up to be cleared. You know, all the occultism and the secrets, along with our government and around the world and the power brokers. I think it just has to be... It has to be a chaotic process, because if it doesn't come up, how can it be resolved or cleared?
Yeah, that's possible.
I think on the surface, it would look somewhat volatile, but I think that's all a part of the process. Hopefully, it goes for the good.
I applaud your idealism there, and I think that's, you know, it's entirely possible, for sure. I mean, I'm noticing myself changing a lot lately, and I don't even know how to define it, you know, but there's something going on, and I think it had a lot to do with my studying the works of Eckhart Tolle and taking time to reflect on those truths that I got from him. So, you know, anything is possible. I know that if there's an enlightened person, that attracts other people, and they receive that gift from that person. And so something like that could spread even bigger, for sure.
Sure, because it's all energy, and if one has a high enough vibrating electromagnetic field, that'll automatically affect people alone when they come into his presence.
Exactly.
Sure. Okay,
so if more of us became enlightened, there should be more people, and I think there could be a 100th monkey effect at some point. I think that's a good point. I'm glad you brought it up and shared it. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. And my two cards that you say give me the most influence for this year would be?
Well, you have the Three of Clubs, which is your ruling card, which also shows up as your displacement card, and it also shows up in Uranus. So, you know, this is a year for you to, you are half writer, you know, that's part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
A creative mind.
And the only other question I had, if I could have one more quick one, is on the Four of Diamonds, as far as compatibility, how would that work?
What birthday is that person?
That would be December 1st.
December 1st, so that's a Six of Spades ruling card. So you have a past life Venus with that person? That's very strong for love and nice feelings between you. There's a mutual Venus also between your cards. I think it's good. I don't see any problems. See, you're also the Three of Clubs has a Five of Diamonds as a karma card. So we would say that you're also a Five of Diamonds, and a Five of Diamonds fits very nicely with a Four of Diamonds.
Okay.
That's one of those marriage connections, you know, potential marriage connections.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I imagine you guys get along pretty darn good.
Oh yes, real well. Uh-huh. But it's always nice to hear an affirmation. Well, I thank you for your time there, and look forward to meeting you someday.
Yes, John, thanks for being my guest and staying up so late to talk to me. I appreciate hearing from you.
You're quite welcome. Take care now.
All right. Good night, John. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, that is our last caller tonight. We're going to end our show slightly early and with our Gayatri mantra from my CD, Bhakti Rock. I hope you enjoy it. And thanks all of you for tuning in, even though I didn't send out the email blasts this week. I promise to do it next week. You have my word. This is Robert Lee Camp saying, have a wonderful new year. I hope that you are able to set some goals for yourself that you love, that bring you more love, light, happiness, and prosperity. Good night. Om.
Tatsaviturvarivinyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tatsaviturvarivinyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya
just